Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Mary Brotherton, and this is Unscripted. I'm here with my co-host, Gene Albertson. How are you tonight, Gene?
Howdy. How are you doing? Thanks.
We're just chilling out in this cool Florida weather, and I was just telling Gene before the show and our guest who's listening in, how excited I am. It would be nice if my mouth would cooperate with my brain. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But I love Thursday nights because it is the opportunity to get to know somebody a little bit better and help expose their, whatever, you know, if they're authors or if they have a service that they offer to the world. We like to share that here on Unscripted. I think before I introduce her, I'd like for Gene to give our phone number out. So if anybody wants to call in tonight, they can because we're live.
Well, sure. You can give us a call and join the conversation at 516-418-5651.
Thank you, sir.
Give us a call.
Tonight, and I know that Gene Well, anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and jump into this. Blushing or not, I don't care. It's up to you, Gene. But we're going to get steamy with Canadian, Italian, American author Joanne Fisher. Joanne is renowned for steamy romances. I'm not finished introducing you yet, my love. Hang on there.
Okay.
Getting all steamed under my collar here. No, she writes romance stories, and her historical fictions and murder mysteries are getting a lot of attention throughout the cyber world, I guess. She likes writing Christmas novellas, and I haven't read one of those yet. But she gives them an Italian flair because I understand she has espresso running in her veins. And if you look at her lately, her hair does not look like spaghetti. It's beautiful. And it's a beautiful auburn color. You've also penned two nonfiction travel guides, haven't you, Joanne?
Yes, that's correct.
What are they called?
One is called The Traveling Boomers, First Stop Italy. And the second one is called Traveling Boomers, Second Stop Israel.
What made you do that?
Well, we went to Italy a couple years ago. Actually, 23 years ago now, 2018, and we went on a tour, you know, just with a tour guide and everything like that, and we were with a bunch of, you know, baby boomers and people from all over the world, really, but mainly baby boomers. So when they found out that I was that I spoke Italian, because I would speak with the tour guide, we would just kind of carry on conversations. And so they started asking me all these questions. Hey, Joanne, what do you do here? And what do you do there? And how do I buy that? And how do I buy this? And, you know, and I would give them, and I was just giving out travel tips that, you know, our tour guide just didn't have enough time to cover, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
then
they kind of have a script
thought,
they have to follow, don't they?
Yes. Well, of course, you know, it's very time constraining, you know, because you have to go here and you got to go there and get on the bus and you know, all this. So they kept asking me all these questions, and every city that we visited the main cities, you know, Rome, Florence, Pisa, et cetera, et cetera. And they kept asking me all these questions. So I thought, well, why not write a book to educate boomers on how to travel, what to pack, what not to pack, you know, what to expect when you get there. And the Italian one, I mean, that one was very, it took off very well. And it's only like $5 book. When I sell it on my, you know, on the book fairs, the book signings, I only sell it for $5, but uh-huh. I sold a lot of them because people always have that dream, you know, to go to Italy. And then I did the second one, which is Israel, but technically we went to Israel first because we went in 2014. So there you have it. So, but it was
very cool.
A lot of fun. So we're waiting in grace to start traveling again. And then I'll probably have a third one coming out, you know, probably about cruising most likely because we love to cruise. So.
Uh-huh. Now, your Traveling Boomers have their own website, don't they? The travelingboomers.com?
That is correct. My husband and I have a website. Well, the books actually sprouted into the website, you know, and so we just take videos. We went like this last summer, obviously, you know, we really couldn't travel internationally, so we traveled locally. We traveled and we went up to North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. So we just kind of did a camping trip. You know, we rented a camper and we just, you know, did little videos along the way and just say, well, you know, and then at the end we did a summarized video of like how much we spent and what we had to do to get the trailer and how we had to bring it back to the owner and how you park it and so many things. We covered so many things, just little things that people just don't know, you know.
Very
and
cool.
Almost, you put,
we had a great
did
time.
Did you put those
fun.
On your website or on social media
yes.
or where?
All over the place. They're everywhere. We
okay.
have a YouTube channel, travelingboomers.com, and then all the videos connect to the YouTube channel. So it's all interactive. So.
That sounds like something Gene's been talking about doing.
Sweet, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I want to go travel and do podcasts and broadcasts from all over different places like that.
That's wonderful because, again, people, there's so many people now like us. I mean, I don't know how old you guys are, but I mean, pretty much I think we're all kind of in the same age range and we're all boomers. And, you know, a lot of us know how to travel. A lot of us don't. You know, so whether you do a podcast or you do write a book or you have a website or your blog or a vlog or whatever you want to have, you know, everything's helpful because
yes.
people are so thirsty for information.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you wrote an anthology of your own. I know you've been in other anthologies, but you've got an anthology out called Baker's Dozen, right?
That's correct. It's basically a
now,
Baker's Dozen. It's 13 stories
uh-huh.
and all about love. And so basically what I did was my first year that I, and I think it started in 2018, I would send a newsletter, an email newsletter out to all my fans, and I would give them a free short story to read. So I just decided to collect all 12 of them from the 12 months of the year, and I put them in a collection with a 13th story that is a true story. And so I always tell them, well, can you guess what the true story is? So.
Oh, that's neat.
That's how it came to be. So
where can people buy that book?
You can go to Amazon.com and look up Baker's Dozen. You can go to my website, joannesbooks.com. It's basically you can read the teasers, you can watch the book trailer, you can listen to the book audio, and you can also click the picture and it'll take you straight to Amazon and where you can buy the ebook.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned that you had been in several anthologies. I know that you work very closely and very intimately with the Space Coast Writers Guild. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. The Space Coast Writers Guild is an organization that basically helps writers to become published. And at this moment in time, I actually am the president of the Space Coast Writers Guild. They helped me tremendously when I was just beginning, and I just had my first book published. I had no experience about the industry. There's a lot to learn every single day. As you guys, you know, learn about a lot about podcasting, or an artist learns about, you know, the different shades of all the colors and everything. So, I mean, being an author is the same thing. There's always so much to learn all the time.
Yes.
But things are changing all the time. I mean, Amazon changes their ads. They change, you know, it's just incredible. Social media changes all the time. It's really hard to keep up, to be honest with you. However, we at the Guild try to help out. So we publish these anthologies every year, and everybody who is a member, and if you want to participate, very easy. If you're not a member, you just pay your $40 membership fee for the whole year, and you get to become published. And then we have poets, we have, you know, just regular writers who just write a nice short story. There are writers who like to write autobiographies, you know, little short stories about certain parts of their life that obviously have to match the theme of the anthology. So, for example, in 2020, our theme title was survival. And 2019 was change. And the 2018 was dreams. So it was like that. So it was it's always a one word title, and we try to capture, you know, sentiments and feelings, and people just have all sorts of you know, different kind of writings to match them. So
what is the website for Space Coast Writers Guild?
scwg.org. scwg.org.
So they could go on that page and find out the deadline for submissions and membership.
Oh, absolutely.
And such.
Absolutely. Everything's on that page. And we meet every third Saturday of every month. And if I remember correctly, you were one of our speakers once.
We were. I was there with Jennifer.
It was a joy to have you. We had a great time.
It was fun.
So we always try and invite speakers who, first of all, are aware of the industry, have some experience on publishing, on marketing, social media, how to get noticed by a traditional publisher. I mean, all sorts of range of, you know, how to put your character, make your characters, you know, real, and how to have conversations in your lookbooks. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And so we have, you know, obviously there's been some restrictions because of COVID, but we started in April. We did a virtual meeting, and then we started in July. We started actually meeting in person again. Obviously, you know, 6 feet apart, and then we had everybody's wearing masks. We're at the O'Galley Public Library now.
Moved.
Where you came, yes. So we have the best view in Brevard County is that library. It is amazing.
It is. It is beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Sure is, oh. Yes. So we, you know, and we have, you know, we've been successful bringing people back again. We have a great time. The people at the library are wonderful. And sometimes even the patrons come around and say, oh, what are you guys doing, you know? So I, you know, here I am explaining everything, and we've had people join. We've had people sign up. So, cause
just walk in.
I've always wanted to write something, you know. So, yeah, sign up, you know. So, yeah.
Well,
that's
years ago before, I feel like I'm the dog who was chasing her tail, and I finally have caught it. So I had, mm-hmm. I either had to let go or I had to bite down. And since I don't like pain, I had to let a lot of things go. I was a member of Space Coast Writers Guild when I first moved to Florida. And also the Florida Writers Association. And
yes,
eventually
Florida,
I just had
Florida,
to say
yes.
Enough is enough.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I learned a lot. Like you said, I learned a great amount of information that I've used in my life since then.
Yes.
I belonged to a writing club my years in college, and it was a different assortment of different kind of writers. And I was kind of the odd guy out because I'm a historian by formal training. But I learned a lot about, you know, trying to write a little poetry and that sort of thing, a little fiction, and learned a lot about writing in general, I think, from the interaction.
Yes.
That's very cool. I'm going to take a real quick break. And if anybody wants to call in, the number is 516-418-5651. It's February 4th. We are live with Joanne Fisher, the Canadian, Italian, American author. And when we come back, we're going to get steamy. So, Jean, you might want to leave the room.
I was going to go play my recorder a little bit.
Let me ask you a question.
Here.
Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
And we're back, and I promised Jean that we were going to get steamy with Joanne Fisher, and I know Jean doesn't like anything steamier than a hot cup of coffee. However, I do want to ask you, Joanne, you mentioned how Space Coast Writers Guild helped you and helps other writers bring their characters to life. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. And if you want to talk about your romantic characters in your books, that's fine. But if you want to preserve Jean's integrity, you might want to steer away from that.
I'm okay.
I know you're good. You're a really good sport because you let me tease you all the time.
All right.
So what
is
one of the best ways to make a fictional character seem real?
Well, first of all, you need to make sure that your character is speaking the way you speak, okay? So if you are... It means basically that if you're writing about, let's say you're writing about a businesswoman, okay, or you're writing about a gangster on the street, you need to make sure that the conversation that the characters are having match the personality that they have. So you're not going to have a businesswoman who's going to be talking slang, right?
Right.
And you're not going to have a street thug who's going to be talking like a professional CEO,
mm-hmm.
correct? So that's one of the first you have to remember about your character. You got to remember when you're having the conversations, when they're having conversations between them, they have to be real conversations. So you kind of have to think about the way when you talk to your mom on the phone or when you talk to your son, or when you talk to your colleague about some kind of work subject or whatever, you just got to remember that the conversation has to flow in that manner, you know? Good to write about characteristics of, like, physical characteristics of the... So because you got to remember that the reader is kind of watching a movie.
Yes.
That's what I was told. So you always have to put yourself in the reader's place and say, okay, well, I want to know this character. I want to know what he or she looks like, you know? So, you know, your character might have a nervous tic. Your character might have long, blonde, flowing hair. Your character might have short, crazy blue hair.
Oh, me.
Like a person, I know. Anyway, what I'm saying is, or your character could be a very strong... somebody who's a politician or, you know, so you have to make them dress the part, right? So if they're a politician, you know, he or she's going to be very, you know, well-dressed, you know, very, you know, the hair always well done, et cetera, always a good poise. And, you know, they might have that, you know, special, obviously you have to make them original. You know, you can't keep them boring either. So you got to give them a little something. Like, for example, let's say you have a professional woman who's running her own company, but she has a dark gray, suit, but she's got this, she's got this blouse that's unbuttoned all the way down, and you can see her décolleté. So, she's very sexual and all that. So that's what I'm talking about. Just give them those little characteristics that, she licks her lips sensually,
right,
every once in a while, something like that. Just things that make them original from other, and you can get inspired by just watching people,
And listening to people.
Situation. Yeah. Okay.
And there's a difference between each genre of writing. If you're writing a period piece, or if you're writing something more contemporary, your speech is going to change. And as you were talking, I was actually observing your nuances, and I had a picture in my head of what you were doing while you were talking about this, and whether you made these gestures or not, I don't know, and it doesn't matter. But
oh yes, gestures are there definitely.
Well, you're Italian, so of course you're moving your hands. I'm not Italian, but I speak with my hands. There's got to be a little bit of diva Italian in me somewhere, because in fact, right now I'm sitting here with my thumb and my forefinger touching, and the other three fingers are sticking out like I'm making the okay sign, and I'm just shaking them. I don't know why. It's just the way I speak.
Right.
My point is, though, when you were speaking, you talked about how you want to make your characters sound authentic. You
correct.
Didn't say you want to make your characters sound authentic, because that's not how you speak. But I
right.
see a lot of new writers, and I do a lot of book reviews for Be Unique and other places. These newer writers, I can pick them out in a heartbeat, because they forget how important contractions are, and they forget that people do say "I wanna" or "I'm gonna," instead of "I want to," "I'm going to," and if it's a character from the South, you better know how to use "fixin' to."
That's exactly right. And on that point, so my second historical fiction was called Magnolia Blossom. It is set in the Civil War. So I had to make sure I had my language and the conversation that they had back then correct, because I wanted to be as authentic as possible.
Where did you research it?
Well, I met a gentleman who, you know how in Florida they have the Olestee reenactment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever heard of it or seen it or been there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So one of the actors, he's actually one of the organizers also. His name is James Permain, which he's mentioned in my book, because he was a tremendous help for me. So I would ask him silly things about, how did they prepare for bed? And just silly things that just came to my mind while I was writing. I'm like, what? I wonder how they did this, And I came across, for example, how the African-American slaves would raise these white children. They would raise them. And if you go online, you'll see so many pictures of these black, beautiful black women, older, younger, whatever. Some of them were in their teens, who had these babies on their laps or by their side, and they were white. So, so it came to me as like, well, I know that is that is not part of history that we like to remember. However, these slave owners weren't all that terrible and horrible, because if they let their children, their white children, be raised, be nursed, actually, even by a black woman, why are they so terrible? You know what I mean? So, and I'm not condoning any of the horrible things that happened, by all means, I'm not. But what I'm saying is, they were actually families. So that's what my book is based on. My book is based on the love that this slave owner had for her slaves. And she didn't want them to, she didn't want them, she wanted them to have a wage and, And then, you know, then other stuff happened. But anyway, but what I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to keep it authentic to the era, to the conversation back then, you know, to the clothes they wore, to, like, for example, in those days, married women didn't put any makeup on. There was no makeup, you know.
Right.
And I said, well, they must have put something on their face. And I'm like, no, they didn't. So
well,
they had other ways of beautifying themselves.
Correct. They would pinch their cheeks, for example.
To make them look nice and rosy.
Yeah, you know.
Well, it's interesting
like
what you said, you know, and I definitely want to remind our listeners that nobody, Be Unique or anyone that we're associated with, would ever condone the willful owning of another human being, which still goes on today. There is human trafficking all over the world, and it's a sad state of affairs, and it's a sad fact. It will take a lot of concerted effort to destroy that. One of our sponsors is the Bronner House Museum. And Alton Williams is a delightful human being. He's African American. He found a cemetery in Castleberry that was abandoned, basically. And he worked with a team of volunteers to bring it back to life. And now they're building a museum there. And this cemetery, at one point, had been dedicated to the slaves of a particular family, the Bronner House.
Right.
And Alton has recently written a book that talks about, you know, atonement of, you know, the further down generations felt bad about what their parents and grandparents had done. So that was why they created this cemetery, because they felt like these people who had just been cast aside needed to be buried. And he's creating his museum to be very authentic. He says, you know, it's a fact of life. These things happened, and they happened to his people. But he doesn't live in that past. He lives in the present. And I think that's what everybody needs to do is, you know, we can't fix the past by constantly berating it and living there. We can only fix the future.
That is correct. Very wisely said.
I have my moments. Don't tell anybody.
Well, what I want to know is, you were talking about the guy who was the reenactor and about some of the putting his clothes on or off, get ready for bed kind of thing. Do you ever go out and, like, go out in the woods and stuff and stay overnight and be part of, experience these things that you haven't experienced but you want to express in your characters?
No, I didn't go that far. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not go that far.
No.
But I did watch about half a dozen Civil War movies. So I got a good idea, you know. And by the way, he was an actor in many of those movies, actually, as well. He appeared in many of them because he's famous for being a reenactor. So he even appears in the regular Hollywood movies. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I don't like – I'm not a fan of camping. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, you know,
I'm a hotel person. Just put me in a hotel. But I tried camping this summer. So.
Yeah, camping's not for me either.
Yeah.
My idea of roughing it is going to my mother's house.
Well, that one guest we had, I can't remember now who her name, glamping. She did glamping.
That was Dorothy Harris. She's one of our Be Unique writers.
Yeah,
she does the Nature Nerd
her.
Column.
But that's my
and
kind
she,
of camping is get a glamping.
Well, see, my biggest
TV,
problem with
Wi-Fi.
My biggest problem with camping is not the inconvenience of not having, you know, of roughing it per se. My problem is that I have to pack everything in my house up, blankets, sheets, towels, food. I just want to pack a suitcase. If I'm going somewhere, all I want to do is pack a suitcase and go and have fun. I don't want to have to then come home and clean everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I will meet you halfway, and I'll give you a trailer. We rented a trailer. It's kind of like the website, kind of like Airbnb, but you can rent trailers, like, you know, the ones that you can either the campers or the RVs or a trailer that you hitch onto the truck, which is what we did.
Uh-huh.
So we just got a small little trailer, and we just took off, and I'll tell you, we had a blast. And those trailers come with everything. So literally, we packed a bag. So it's kind of like halfway, you know? So
that's not bad.
Uh-huh.
It's not bad. It wasn't so terrible. I'm not gonna lie.
I have family that's about an hour from any beach. And I have one sister who lives in Mississippi, and she'll travel to South Carolina to the beach that we used as children. And they camp out, they buy a beach house for the week. But they have to carry so many things with them. I even saw one of my brothers posted on Facebook that he had to bring his own can opener because you just never know what the shape of the can opener is in these rentals. And I said, that's why I go where there's room service.
Yes. I agree.
I like room service. I really do. I forget who I was talking to recently. I think I was talking to Curtis about room service for something. And he was like, well, how do you do that around here? I said, I am room service. I fetch the sandwiches for him. I fetch the food for the cat. I take care of everybody else. And that's another reason. If I go somewhere, I don't want to be taking care of myself for a week. If it's a vacation, I want to vacate.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to take me another quick break. Jean, I feel like I talk all the time. What is our phone number if anybody wants to call in?
Well, I would have to say then in that case it would be 516-418-5651. Please give us a call.
That would be nice. I'd love to have a caller. And maybe if somebody calls in, Joanne will read something steamy for us. We'll be right back.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
And we're back. We're back with Jean and Joanne and Mary. We've been talking about traveling and traveling boomers. We've been talking about Baker's Dozen Anthology, historical fiction. But we haven't talked about Joanne's murder mysteries. You write in a lot of genres, girl.
Yes. Right now it's three genres, major genres. I mean, even the novellas are still romance. So
yeah.
Either way.
Tell us a little bit of what got you into the murder mystery aspect.
I don't know. I love to read murder mystery. So I like to write what I read. So first I started with the steamy romances, and then I went historical, and then I'm like, well, I love murder mystery too. So I dabbled in that as well. And so The Devil of St. Gabriel was born, and it is also a story that is inspired by a true story, but I turned it into a murder mystery. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you heard about the true story and then you just fictionalized it a bit?
Yes. The true story is just a story about basically harassment, pretty much. But I overheard, and I just turned it into a murder mystery. I just, you know, gave it the
cool.
worst case scenario. So the devil of St. Gabriel was born. And so
like, is it one of those that if you're paying attention, you can kind of solve it if you're paying attention as you go along?
No,
but you're not sure until
no.
the end, or no?
No, 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 no. It's kind of a cat and mouse kind of thing.
Okay.
So you leave us hanging?
Kind of all throughout. Sorry?
You leave the reader hanging?
No, I don't.
Okay.
It gets resolved.
Okay, good. I was about to click the close the show button on that one.
No, one of the readers, she's actually a friend of mine too. She told me, Joanne, she goes, I went in my room, I read the whole thing, I didn't sleep that night. She goes, I had to finish the whole book. I just couldn't put it down. So,
wow.
Supposedly, that's how she felt. I mean, you know, of course, it's an individual. But, yeah, I was really, really happy about that.
I love getting a book that I don't want to put down.
Yes.
And I hate it. I also hate
yes,
it.
Yes, I know, right? Yeah, because I got to go to work tomorrow. I can't do this. But, yeah.
I have so many books that I need to get finished and published that I'm the world's, I don't know what I am. I'm so busy with other things that I let my own work slide. And I'm old enough that I need to stop doing that. I need to get my books published.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
If you ever need any advice, I'm here for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's not so much advice I need as an assistant to do some things that I have to do, my administrative stuff for the organization. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of time.
It does, yeah. It sure does.
Yeah. And I'm working with 12 interns right now. That turned into quite a bit more than I thought we were going to get. And they're from all over the country. And they're doing, we've got two writers, two editorial interns, a couple of marketing interns, three graphic interns, I think. I'm going to lose count.
Wow.
But we, Yeah, we're having a meeting next Tuesday with our board to introduce everybody and kind of get them started on their projects. But one of the writers and two of the editors have been at it for a week already. They've already logged in their first week's worth of work.
Wow.
So, and they're
That's
eager.
Great.
I love it. It's nice to work with
young
eager minds.
Oh yeah, they have their sponges and they have so many ideas in their heads. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping for with these marketing interns. I'm hoping that they'll have a lot of ideas that can turn us around.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of young people and marketing, and that makes me think of social media. Where are you on social media, Joanne?
I am everywhere. I'm not gonna lie to you. I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, MeWe, and obviously, you know, email and my website.
No,
and
Joanne's book.
So Facebook is Read Joanne's Books. On Twitter, the handle is @Joanne's Books. Instagram is Joanne's_books2018, something like that. Anyway, look up Joanne Fisher Author. I'm everywhere. Like,
that's very cool.
Just everywhere.
I heard today that TikTok is the place to be.
I don't know. I feel TikTok is for young people. I mean,
that's why we're going to put some of our interns on that one.
That's right. I mean, young people are. I'm trying to target readers. So readers are people who are out of college and, you know, who have young children who have time to read. You know, I feel like young people, they don't, I mean, just take my children, for example, or my husband's children. Nobody reads. These people don't read. So, and you can dish out all the books you want, and they'll be like, oh, you want another book? Oh, okay, great, you know. So it's like.
Well, you know, and when you're young, too, if you aren't on your way somewhere, you're late getting there. You know, you got your going.
Right.
That's true.
Well, we know that from Anna East. She's one of our show hosts. And she is always on the go. She travels so much. In fact, I heard recently that her trip to Hong Kong is back on.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I think in the spring. Yeah, she's been to, I know she's been to Africa, Australia. I don't think she's been to Canada. Alaska, several places in the United States, I think. Last week she was in Atlanta. She's been to Japan twice, Taiwan, and now going to Hong Kong.
That's great.
Crazy busy. In fact, she was the one. One day, Jennifer, one of my co-founders, said they were riding in the car. And I don't know where they were going, but Jennifer said, I don't want to listen to the radio. Grab one of the magazines out of my purse and read to me. Read some of the stories from Be Unique. And Anna said, why don't you just make it audio? So you can just turn it on and listen to it whenever you want to.
Right.
So we did.
Ta-da.
The last five issues have been audio issues.
Yes. The audio industry is really getting really huge because people, they're always pretty much in their cars or they're jogging or whatever. And, you know, you can read / listen to a book while you're doing any activity that you like at the gym, you know. So, yeah, it's a great industry. It's really, really booming right now.
Well, you can and you can't. I tried listening to a podcast one time while I was, and I also, I used to listen driving, no problem. In fact, my youngest son and I used to drive an hour to his doctor on a regular basis when he was 14 or so. He was having all kinds of growing pains. So we would go to the library, grab an audiobook, listen to it. And by the time we were home, we were just about finished with the book. I cannot edit while I'm listening to anything other than certain kinds of music because it's very distracting, and then I end up making mistakes.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. No, I agree with that. I agree with that, yes.
Now, do you have an editor, or do you do your own editing?
I have an editor, yes.
Good.
A very close friend, so he doesn't charge me an arm and a leg. Because we're indie authors, so we really can't afford the big shot editors.
That's another side effect that people don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good editor is vital to the success of your book. But also, I have several children's books that I've written, and finding a good illustrator who's not going to drain me before I get it to print is an issue.
Correct. You're right. That's one of the issues that our children's authors have as well.
And it's difficult. It depends on how you're going. If you're self-publishing and you can draw, great. If you're trying to go through the big publishers, they usually don't want you to illustrate your books.
True.
So there are a lot of twists and turns that most people don't know about. And I get so frustrated when people start their book out with their little foreword and they say, I read a book and I hated it so much and I thought I could write a book better than that. So here's my book. And I'm thinking, this is not going to be a good book. And it's never turned out to be a very good book. Every time I've read
very pretentious. I don't believe in doing that. No, because I have read a lot of books. I have read a lot of good books. I've read a lot of bad books and in between books, but everybody's got their own style. So just because, your name is not Stephen King doesn't mean that you can't write a horror story, you know? So
that's right.
And Stephen King is the best at writing horror stories because I've read horror stories that are way, way creepier than Stephen King. So there you have it.
It's interesting that you say that because my son, who he's an avid reader, of course, he's pushing 40, so he's much older than most people, most of the younger people. And he was the one who convinced me to try reading Stephen King. And I was like, I don't want to read that crap.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me a couple of really good, mild Stephen King books. And
mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait to get my hands on the next one. And another author that he turned me on to was Scott Orson Card,
mm-hmm.
who writes sci-fi. And he said, you can't read Ender's Game first, Mom, it'll freak you out. But read
mm-hmm.
this one and then go back to Ender's Game.
Yeah.
I love having my kids are really good at book and movie recommendations. They know me well enough to know what I will and won't appreciate.
Right. That's
unlike
good.
My
that's
husband who loves to come down the hall and interrupt me with a pun.
sounds like mine.
and I get he knows I get really frustrated with the puns that twist the English language. I'm by no means a purist when it comes to English, but don't just mess it up deliberately, you know? That just hurts me.
Well, my pet peeve is when my husband calls all the major stores, he gives them different names.
Oh, really?
like for example, Best Buy is Worst Buy. You know, and so on and so forth. They're kind of funny, but it annoys me. I'm like, come on, man. That's not right.
After a while, enough is enough.
Sort of way.
It gets old. It gets old, yes.
Yeah. So something that we haven't talked about yet, and I really want to. I want to know a lot about, not a little, I want to know a lot about Wally and Madison.
Oh, my beautiful little wieners. Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite topics.
Well, let it go. Let's hear it.
All right. Well, Wally, actually, there is a short story in Baker's Dozen anthology that I wrote, which is it's from a dog's perspective. So it's about Wally, but it's about from his perspective. And one of the first short stories I wrote, and I love that story because when you adopt these little critters, you really don't know what they've been through. You have no idea, right? They
yeah.
just say, oh, here, you know, because we adopted both. Wally was just out of puppyhood. He was just a little over a year. And Madison,
mm-hmm.
we adopted her a couple years ago, and she's they call them Chiweenie. I don't know if you ever hear that. It's a mixture of
Chihuahua
and
Dachshund.
Chiweenie.
Yeah.
Dachshund, yes. So she's gorgeous. She's scared of everything now. She's so adorable. Love her. Anyway, so we kind of guessed what he could have gone through and what, you know, because apparently he was found. He was named Wally because he was found in a Walgreens parking lot.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know where he came from, wherever. But anyway, so I just wrote this story about him, and then, you know, we had another little dog called Ozzy who passed away a few years ago. He was a very, very sick dog. I adopted him, but he was super sick. He would always throw up, and he was in bad, bad, bad shape. But I nursed him to health, and we were able to have him for 3 full years, and we just absolutely loved that dog. I mean, just anyway. Every time we talk
that's
about
really
it,
cool.
I tear up. So.
Aww.
Anyway, yeah, you know how it is, especially when they're sick and it's like, oh, it's just like, you just get into your heart. They just, anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, every
so
dog
we
I've had, I swore was going to be my last dog.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. And then, of course, I turn around and go and adopt another one. And
yeah.
Right now, I don't have any dogs. I have a cat. And
mm-hmm.
that cat is my life, basically. My life revolves around him. He's an old cat. He's almost 18
mm-hmm.
years old.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, he's almost 18. We got him when he was about 1.5, 2 years old. And
oh, okay.
he was called the devil cat.
Why
he wasn't,
is that?
He wasn't, because he didn't like the lady in the house. He loved the guy. He's a guy's cat.
Okay.
He prefers to be with men, but he has a routine with me.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband told me yesterday, he said, you know what we need to do? We need to get him another bowl. And I looked at him like he was nuts. I said, he's got four bowls in the kitchen already, you know, two or three stay in the dishwasher and one's on the floor. He said, no. One, like the, he calls the bed, the cat bed, a bowl because it's round shaped. He needs a bowl right in my office because he mm-hmm. likes to come and stay with me. I said, then I'll lose him too. I'll lose him again. But it's really funny. He's got his own personality and he talks. I'm surprised. He came in here and sat with me a few minutes ago, but he didn't say a word. I think he's mm-hmm. getting to understand that when I've got the microphone and the headset on, that means be quiet.
Yes.
I don't know. Dogs yep. and cats like have their own way of understanding.
It's like our dogs. Mm-hmm. When we pull up those cell phones, they know that we're not going to pay attention to them.
You know,
so.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get ready to go somewhere, do they know that you're leaving?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, when we start dressing and washing and putting certain clothes on and you know, starting grabbing the my purse and grabbing whatever. And they're like, there's climbing on you. Like, oh, we want to come too.
Take me.
They say those words like D-R-I-V-E. We have to spell them because they know.
Oh.
Like, we have to spell everything out. T-R-E-A-T and W-A-L-K and things like that because they understand everything. They'll start jumping up and down like crazy.
My neighbor has a golden retriever, and he knows what time of day they go for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of days ago, she was on the phone with me, and we were talking, and she forgot that the dog understood the words ride and drive because we were talking about something else. We weren't talking about taking him for a drive. And she says, oh, no, I forgot to spell the word. I said, you spell it often enough, he'll figure that out, too.
Oh, yeah. 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 That's right. Yeah, that's smart. They're so smart.
One of my cat's favorite treats is ham. And if we didn't want to give him ham, we would spell the word. Well, after a while, he learned that H-A-M meant that good stuff that they always give me.
Oh, that's so smart.
Oh, that's crazy.
You gotta love them.
They're nuts. I do. And I think it's amazing to have that kind of unconditional love in your life.
Oh, yes. They do definitely love you unconditionally, for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes we
but
don't
you know
deserve
what
that love. But.
It's almost time to end the show.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm telling you, it flies by.
It sure does.
I would like to make sure that everybody knows where they can find you online, Joanne. Because some people might have just tuned in 5 minutes ago.
Okay. So look up, read Joanne's Books on Facebook. Joanne's Books on Twitter. Joanne_books_2018 on Instagram. Joanne's Books on MeWe, if you know what MeWe is. Or joannesbooks.com is my website. And if you want to send me an email, it's joannes_books@outlook.com.
Or they can find you at Space Coast Writers Guild.
Correct.
SCWG.org.
Yes. If you go there and you go to the Contact Us page, you'll see the board of directors and you see my pretty little picture there along with all the other board members. And we have, you know, all the authors there with their books and all the books they wrote and, you know, the anthology if you want to buy it. And again, you click the anthology and it takes you to Amazon. So everything's pretty interactive.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually at the end of the show, Jean and I like to end with a little mantra. And I'd like to give you the opportunity, if you would like to, add your final words of wisdom or your parting words. And if you'd like for us to go first, we can do that, kind of give you an idea of what we say.
Sure, go for it.
Mine are almost always the same, but I think I'm going to change them up a little bit. Usually I say, whatever you do, wherever you go, be kind. But I want to add to that, be kind and buy a book from an indie author.
Oh, thank you.
And keep reading. Keep reading, folks. Always read, because that's how you learn.
Yes. Absolutely.
Jean, I know what. Well, I think I know what you're going to say. You might surprise me one day.
Well, maybe one day. That might be fun. My feeling is I it's a reflection of the way I live. If I'm not having fun, I'm not doing it right.
True. Sounds right.
Yeah. So. And I will tell you, Gene makes living fun. He makes what I do a lot more fun. We're not doing it right now, partly because of the weather, and we have other considerations we're working on. But Gene and mm-hmm. I used to go every Wednesday to Okahumpka, Florida, which is a 2-hour drive from my
mm-hmm.
house. He would drive an hour from Melbourne to Merritt Island, and then we
mm-hmm.
would go to Okahumpka. And we never
mm-hmm.
stopped laughing. 2 hours there, 2 hours back, and then we were there for, 6 hours? It was a long day. And it was always filled with jocularity and
jocularity.
More. Yes, I love that word. So, Joanne, would you like to end the show with some parting words?
I would just like to say, feed your mind, read a book, and please leave a review.
Oh, I like that. I left a review for not an author, but for another small business today. And mm-hmm. she said it made all the difference in the world to her because she just knew that it was heartfelt.
That's right. And even the not-so-great reviews, of course, we'd love the 5 stars, I'm not going to lie, but even the not-so-great ones are good because you know what? It's educational. So you know
that's
if
how
you
learn.
Catch something, that's how you learn. So that's how you learn how to write, you learn how to read, and it all goes hand in hand. So that's it.
Well, Joanne, I am so grateful that you joined us tonight. I had fun.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
I had a blast, you guys.
I'm so glad. I am really glad that you did.
Excellent.
But
all
that
right.
gives me just enough time to hit this button and exit us out of here and not get cut off at the end of the show. That's the key. We don't want Blog Talk to just... Gene, that was a trick Gene and I had to learn, was when to shut up. And that's my cue. Bye, everybody.
Love you all. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's beunique.org.